Hey, Dr. Randy here from the Intentional Living Center. Glad to be with you, along with Jennifer and Steven, our team here, as we visit this whole thing of the power of one thing. I wrote a book by that title, by the way, and we focused on nine areas. One thing for our attitude, one thing for the words that we speak, one thing for our marriage, one thing for our relationships, and the power of one thing. We'll talk about that and get your calls if you want to leave a story on our comment line about how getting very focused on one thing in your life has made a difference for God's glory. It's for Him, by the way, and for the benefit to yourself. It's not just about being a better manager of money. That's good. Or having better health. That's great. Or having a great marriage and make it even better. That's fantastic. But we should be doing this because we want to live our life the way God intended. And God intended, I believe, for less regret, more freedom in areas of our life, and more joy and better relationships. And that's what we're all about here. So what is one thing that's made a difference in your life? One thing that you've been working on? You can give us a call on our storyline today at 888-888-1717 is the number. And let's get started with Jody in Kansas. What's your one thing, Jody?
Caring more towards others. I've been really having a problem with that towards other people. Like, I've been kind of rude towards people and, you know, shoving people away and, you know, act like I don't really care. So I am just trying to care more towards others, where I'm not being so rude towards people.
Why do you think you are rude toward people?
I'm not for sure.
Does it build a protection between you and others?
Right, yeah.
Is it hard for you to be real open and honest and sharing with people?
Right, yes.
So one of the things you want to do, it sounds like, is you want to be more real with people and connect with people at their felt need.
Right.
Okay. Thought, how about every day? You say, hey, I'm going to have one person today. I'm going to watch for it. Could be a person on a street corner, a person at the store, someone at work. And I'm going to just reach out to them and ask them how their day's going and ask them how you could pray for them if they need prayer, or God bless you, or something that you're going to speak into their lives. And if you just start by saying, I want to do that with one person every day for the next 30 days, that will begin a process of developing a better habit as it has to do in relating with other people. How's that sound?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is that something you'll do?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, let us know after you've done that for a while how it goes. You know, we love hearing back. I have to be honest with you, we don't hear back from you all as much as I'd like, because I know some of you, you know, you take the things we talk about, some of you go and actually apply them to your life, and some of you hang up the phone and go do the same thing you were doing before. Come on, this is the way life is. But for those of you that, hey, have said we've taken some of the things we've heard and applied them to our life, love to know. What did you learn? What did God teach you? Do you feel closer to Christ? Have you grown in your relationship? We'd love to hear your story at our comment line. 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717. The power of doing one thing over an extended period of time. It makes a difference. I mean, you talk to anybody listening who's in banking or finance, you know about the power of one thing. You invest over an extended period of time, and you do so intentionally, you're going to find a positive result. You're going to have up days and down days. You know, if you're investing in whatever, it goes up and it goes down, goes up and goes down. That's part of it. But it's what happens over an extended period of time. It's like your health. If you choose to be healthier in terms of what you eat, how you live, you're going to have good days and bad days, right? So you're not going to feel it. And all of a sudden you feel it and you start to realize, hey, this has been positive in my life. This is going to happen in your marriage. This is going to happen in your faith. You want to grow in your relationship with Christ. It doesn't happen because you have an intellectual assent that as a believer, I want to grow. It doesn't happen. You got to be watered just like a plant, and you get into the Word of God every day, and you pray every day, and you be around those who are growing in their faith. You go to church and be in that community and learn. That's part of this growth process, the power of one thing. All right, let's go. Tim, you're next, my friend. What's your one thing?
Well, let me first explain. About 5 years ago, I came back to Christ. Never really knew Him that well to begin with, but I came back to Christ. And, you know, I got rebaptized because I was baptized as a child. And then you hear all these testimonies of people that have this wow experience and everything changes. And I didn't have that, and I don't think everybody does.
No, they don't.
So, you know, my pastor consistently talks about living the life we were born to live and walking the walk with Christ. And that sticks in my mind. And what I started doing years ago is I'd stop myself every once in a while and go, well, if Jesus was in my shoes, what would he do? And we know the answer to that. We know the difference between spiritual rightness and spiritual wrongness. So I would make a correct decision. Or I'd evaluate how my day went and go, you know, that's not how Jesus would have handled that. That person cut me off, but that my reaction wasn't warranted. I shouldn't be like that. And so I started asking that question. If Jesus was in my shoes right now, what would he do? And, you know, started one here, one there, and then it became more and more frequent, and things started to change. I got really close to my wife because I asked the question, how would he treat her? And it wasn't the way I was treating her. The husband worked affected by my walk with Christ. It's the first time I really talked publicly about all this.
Well, what difference has it made? I mean, you're saying, you're basically saying, you know, a little wristband, what would Jesus do? You're doing the next right one thing. Now, obviously, we don't always know. I mean, we're not God. We're not the Holy Spirit.
Correct.
We follow his word and we trust him and we make mistakes. That's part of the human condition. What I hear you saying, though, is you've intentionally changed your mind, your focus, to stop before you do something. Say, now, wait a minute, what would Jesus do here? Well, I don't know exactly, but this is what I think the scripture teaches. So you're taking control of your thoughts. You're taking control of your actions. What are some specific things that have changed in your life as a result of that one decision?
Specifically, I've never had such a wonderful marriage ever.
Okay.
Number two, my wife and I intentionally got totally out of debt.
Good.
Let me tell you, everyone, that is the most freeing change in life that you can experience.
Yeah. Say it again. It's the most freeing experience. There's bondage financially.
Yeah. You're just lifting the chains right off you. And that's with tithing and doing the right thing. It's changed how I treat people everywhere. I see people as people, not, you know, big people, small people, whatever, you know, the way I used to look at people. I look at people as God's children now, and I treat them different, and I'm treated different. People treat me different.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm a Bible thumper, because I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to be more like Christ.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
What I'm doing for my marriage is I am living as Christ did for the church. That's what I'm trying to do, is love my wife the way Christ loved the church. We've had a lot of trouble, but we have a great marriage because we've overcome it. Every time we make it through a struggle, we're stronger on the other end.
There are thousands of couples on their own intentional journey, and thousands more who need to begin. You can encourage each one of them when you become a monthly member of Intentional Living today at theintentionallife.com.
And when you do, you're helping support the ministry of Intentional Living, impacting more people every day here and around the world, online, as we get a chance to reach people, not only on the radio, but online now, as that's a growing outreach. Really, it really is. I was sharing with the staff, my wife Donna and I had the privilege of being at a reception here in Tucson with Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, and from Samaritan's Purse and the Billy Graham Association. And he made a really interesting statement to us. He was talking about the Billy Graham Association and their outreach for evangelism and reaching people with Christ, for Christ, and how they've developed their whole online ministry and how they're reaching people around the world through their evangelism online. And he said, In essence, he said, over the last 10 years, we've reached more people for Christ and more decisions for Christ online than my father, Billy Graham, was able to do in all of his crusades for the 70 years of ministry. I mean, that's unbelievable. And we're so excited to be able to use the technology that God has given us today. I mean, we couldn't have been doing this kind of stuff a few years ago. What we're doing online, our podcast, of course, our radio broadcast, and all of this. And we got one purpose, and that's to help people have come to a relationship with Christ intentionally, and then actually through discipleship, learn to grow intentionally in Him. That's our passion. And when you pray for us and you support the ministry, you allow us to do that. And I thank you for it. If you're not a part of the Intentional Living Support family, please come and join us today. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And when you do, you're going to make a difference. Click on the donate icon or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. The power of one thing. Let's get back to it. Marianne in Georgia, appreciate your call. What's your one thing?
To stay focused.
Do you get distracted easily?
Oh, yes. Well, I kind of have too many things going on at one time.
You're the kind of person that likes to have a long list of things to get done?
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, I'll start them, and then I'm off doing something else, and then get that done, you know, and I got something else in the fire. I'm reading constantly, listening to the radio. In 2 years, I've been through a divorce, 25 years, found out I had breast cancer. But you know what? God is so good. He's still so good to me. And I want to stay focused so that I can be ready when it's time to tell someone about Jesus Christ.
Amen. Hey, listen, Marianne, what a sweetheart. I appreciate you sharing that from Georgia, as you have that attitude of one thing. You want to be ready. You know, the Bible tells us to be ready in season and out of season. Be prepared. Share the good news. That's terrific. All right. Let's go to Paul in Arizona. What's your one thing?
The one thing for me is I would like to read from Proverbs every day. I will start with maybe half a chapter just because of time. And then if I can get to one chapter a day, that would be absolutely wonderful.
All right. So half a chapter a day. And when are you going to start this?
Tomorrow.
Can I encourage you to add one thing to that? As you read the chapter, pick out one verse that sort of resonates in your mind and write it down, maybe put it on a post-it note on the refrigerator and kind of reflect and meditate on that verse throughout the day. Otherwise, what happens is all of the verses, which are so full of wisdom, you know, we can get lost and not remember. But picking out one would be pretty powerful.
Correct. And I was thinking a little bit War Room-esque, is having one verse posted in each room of my home, so that when I go in that room for whatever I'm going in there for, I see that verse that day.
Fantastic.
And I just appreciate the value of your program on a daily basis.
Well, you're welcome, Paula. We're glad to be here. All right. Let me see. It looks like we have a question coming in from Michigan.
Hi, my name is Jill. I have a lot of problems since I was a little kid with panic attacks. Not just anxiety, but straight up panic. And I still have problems with that, and I don't know how to live intentionally. I don't really know what that means. I hear it all the time, but I mean, I do things intentional, but I feel like I'm still not living in the now. I feel like I'm living 10 chess moves ahead, and I don't know how to slow down and take it back. And I feel like I've wasted 50 years of my life just trying to not be afraid all the time. I don't know. It just becomes really tiring, exhausting to wake up every day worried about what, you know, that cough is. Is it cancer? You know, that pain in my side? Is it my appendix? You know, that's just at 16. Now that these things are actually for real, it's unbearable sometimes.
Oh, Jill, listen, we got a lot of people who are prayer partners around the country who are going to be praying for you, Jill. And there's many people who deal with anxiety. They wrestle with anxiety, and so they can relate. I just want to say a couple of things. When we talk about one thing today, the power of one thing, I think for you the one thing is to say, listen, this is something that I'm not finding victory in my life. I've tried different things, you've done different things, but it's not working. And whenever we have a broken leg, we need a doctor. We have heart attack, we need a doctor. When we need surgery, we see a surgeon. And when we're having ongoing panic attacks, high anxiety, and we're not dealing with things in our life, we feel overwhelmed and stuck, there's resources available that can be helpful to you. So I would encourage you to go maybe start with your medical doctor, find a psychologist, a counselor, and just lay it out and start the process, because there's help available for you, all right? You're not a bad person. Christians struggle with this. Believers struggle with anxiety and depression and other kinds of mental issues, emotional issues. And so realize that there's help available. Don't feel like you're stuck and that because you feel overwhelmed, there's no help, because there is help available. Secondly, I want to say to all of us, when we're feeling anxiety, and we all have fear, we know one of the major issues we wrestle with in life is these feelings of fear. And I think of the passage that where Paul's talking to Timothy, I often quote it on the air here, where Paul's talking to this young pastor who must have been dealing with some fear, as even there in that time with what he was going to do and sharing the gospel in a very dangerous time in history, when you think about it. All of a sudden you're showing up and talking about this Jesus, the Messiah, to a bunch of people who are Jewish believers, and they're going to reject what you're going to say. I can imagine what he must have been feeling as he's going to be reaching people with this message of hope. And Paul says to him, listen, Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, Holy Spirit, of love, and we're commanded that, right, to love one another, and a sound mind, what we choose to think. And so if we're dealing with these feelings, feeling overwhelmed with anxiety or fear, understand that God is there for us. And that's not from God, that feeling of overwhelmness, being overwhelmed rather, that God has given us not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Boy, I hope that helps you. Okay, my friend, I appreciate your call. All right, I think we're going to go back to our power of one thing here. We've got a comment or a question, or I think a one thing coming from David. Go right ahead.
My name's David. My wife and I live here in Topeka, Kansas. And one thing that we've always done, we've always try to do a ministry together. So we do a ministry called Reengage. It's out of Watermark in Dallas, Texas, and we lead as leaders in that. And we find that we're always reconnecting and working together in the ministry. So we find that instead of doing separate ministries and being unconnected, it's just nice to be on the same page with the ministry that we're both passionate about.
That's good. Excellent. All right, let's see here. Before we take a break, I think we can go to Nebraska. Heather, looks to me like you have one thing. Go right ahead.
Hi, this is Heather. The way I'm intentionally parenting is when they come home from school and I ask them, hey, how was your day? And usually they say fine or it wasn't great, but what I say next is, what made it fine? Why wasn't it great? It shows them that I really am interested and I'm not just going through the motions.
Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with another Intentional Minute for today. Look at the top 10 list of intentionals and making decisions. And here's a big question. It's a big one. When you're about to make a big decision in your life, ask this. Is the decision I'm about to make in any way violate my values, my beliefs, and what's important to me? Scripture tells us that we reap what we sow. I mean, we see that principle in farming. I mean, farmers are very aware that you put it in the ground and that's what you get back out. And so I would encourage you today to think about what are you sowing? What are the things that you're putting in the ground that are going to come back into your life? Because we can't violate that principle of reaping and sowing. So can I encourage you to think about what things are you sowing in your life today? And that's intentional living.
For more information and inspiration, go to theintentionallife.com.
All right. Hey, listen, when you go there, there'll be help available for you, much in the way of resources. And again, it's because of our support family, our listeners who support the ministry, that we're able to do this every day. And when you join to become a monthly member of Intentional Living, we'll make sure you get access to the brand new platform where we have all of the resources that we've created over the last couple of years, my monthly teaching and so on, available to you, plus new things that go up there as a way of saying thank you for your support and to encourage you on your journey of living intentionally in Christ. If you have a comment, you can call us at 888-888-1717, or you can use that number during West Coast business hours and press that number 2 when the phone gets answered, and you'll go right to our staff. Or anytime, you can join us in support by going to theintentionallife.com and click on that little donate icon. All right, let's turn our attention to some questions that we've been getting in from around the country. Here's a call from Michigan.
Hi, this is Paula from Michigan, and I'm just calling in regards to a call that just came in where she said that her child wouldn't directly listen to when she asked quietly, and he responds only to yelling. And I found that with myself, that most of the time when I'm making requests, I'm in the kitchen, the kids are in the other room, and I'm saying to them, hey, do your homework. Hey, do your homework. Hey, do your homework. And I found that if I leave what I'm doing and make eye contact with my child and make my request in front of them with eye contact, the chances are far better at them following through. And I just wondered what you have found or what you've noticed with this also.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's a great great thing to do and a great question, Paula. The reality is when we make eye contact, there's something that happens in a relationship at that moment. You know that you're there. When the Bible says to us to be a swift listener and a slow speaker, one of the ways we can be a good listener is to make that kind of eye contact, where we can read not only what the words are being said, but we can read the facial expressions and all of these things that can help in the form of positive communication. It makes a huge difference. So what do I think? I think it's fantastic. And you've just proved that it works. When you stop and you look at your children when you're talking to them, we always tell, this is what happens with little ones. We remind parents to get down on your knees, take your hands around their little face, kind of point them right at your eyes so you can make contact. So there's a clear communication. You do this in a loving way. And in the process, you're right there. It's a very powerful thing to do. All right. I appreciate that. All right. We got a couple more. I think we have time for a couple more questions. Here's another one coming in from in the country here somewhere, New Mexico, I think. Go ahead.
Hey, sir. My name is Rondo. I'm here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I'm a veteran of 25 years. And just recently, I was diagnosed with this disease called PLS, and then I had a phone interview today with a doctor, a speech therapist, and apparently I did some things that they are concerned about where, you know, that I need x-rays done in my throat and stuff like that. And you know, I rebuked this because I don't believe it's really happening to me. But then again, you know, I'm a little terrified. And I asked God to help me with this. And this disease could turn into ALS if possible, and I hope it doesn't. But, you know, the person I love very much, this lady named Melissa, was with me when I got diagnosis. And, you know, today with the speech therapist, trying to have me make some sounds and all, apparently they weren't done right. So now it's like a concern for me. So, you know, I'm just asking for a prayer request then. I have faith that, you know, I'm going to overcome this, but it's just a little scary at the same time.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Randall, you tie in with the caller we had earlier that was wrestling with the fear can turn into anxiety. And, you know, we quote the same verse again, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And I would remind you that how we choose to think makes a difference. And listen, these are real issues. I get it. And the unknown is what causes us to feel most anxious. The fact is, the further we get away from this moment, either into the past, which we have regrets, or into the future, where we can have anxiety and fear, we're better off to live in this moment right now. God is with me right now. God is with me in this diagnosis. God is with me right here in this moment. You quote scripture, you pray, you be present in the moment, you deal with what's right in front of you, because we have no control over tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what the doctors are going to say a day or 2 days or 6 days from now. But we can today do that next right one thing. And when we do, that's a powerful thing. So I would encourage you to do that. And secondly, I'm inviting listeners around the country to pray for Randall. He shared this story a little bit ago, a few weeks ago on the air. And I know some of you have been praying for him, and I wanted you to have a chance to continue to pray for him again as you hear that story. Do we have time for one more? All right. I think I got one more question before we wrap it up. Go right ahead.
Hello, this is Teresa. I was calling for Dr. Randy because I have two adult girls that are hating on me, and I'm divorced where I cheated. They were a big support to me during that time, and soon after, my son-in-law, who is very narcissistic, I think, he got in the way and used that divorce as a way to bring my oldest daughter that's married to him away from me and pull the grandkids away. And then my middle child, who's only 14 months difference between them, she is actually pulling away too at the same time because she believes what he's saying. So I have a narcissistic influence in the family, and he has turned both girls against me. I just need to know if there's any way of resolving this or how to handle it, because so far it's been silence for 4 years.
Wow. 4 years of silence. Let me just be real honest with you. I think I do two things. I would look deep inside myself and ask, what have I done or what am I doing that may be making it worse in terms of my relationship with my kids? You got to be really self-aware. You got to be really totally honest. Is there something I've said, something I've done, an attitude I've had, or anything that might be exacerbating that relationship with my daughters? Okay? You got to be really honest. And if you are, you fess up and you take responsibility and you make a change. And after that, or if that's not an issue at all, then I would divide and conquer. I would talk to one of your other daughter. You said there were both of them or two of your family members. I would take them out to lunch. And I would not be making accusations about son-in-law as a narcissist. And I'm telling you, when you start saying that kind of thing, a wall's going up and you're never going to win. The only way to build a relationship is with humility and honesty and love. And so that would be my one thing for you today. Hope that helps. All right, we're out of time. If you have a comment you'd like to leave, maybe you have some things that have worked for you on some of these topics, call our comment line at 888-888-1717. Thanks to our members who continue their faithful support of the Intentional Living family. Thank you, Stephen and Jennifer and the rest of the team here for your support, keeping Intentional Living on the air every day. So for myself, my wife, Donna, and our team, have a great day. God bless you, and remember, be intentional.